Father, bless these words to our hearts, anoint our ears. Father, anoint our hearts. And God, give us a capacity to hear your words from your throne. And God, deliver this message in the heart that you have. Amen. This is a topic that has actually been on my heart for about 4 or 5 weeks now. And I did not have the grace or the go-ahead from God to speak on it until just really came to me like 2 days ago that this would be the message. I had started working on it and I couldn't even continue working on it because the grace was not there yet. But it was very heavily on my heart for some reason. This is a topic that nobody seems to talk about. And I don't know why, because it's an important topic, I think, especially to every person. People wonder certain things, but nobody explains them. They say to themselves, the Bible doesn't really say it very clearly, and so we don't know. But that's not true. When I was looking, I heard the Bible doesn't say this very clearly, and so we don't know. And then I started looking through the Bible regarding this issue, this topic, and I find that the Bible does say it very clearly, and we can know, it's just that nobody seems to want to know. I think as believers, we have to be careful about that. To say the Bible doesn't say when it's just we don't know, and then when you look, it really does say. I think as believers, when we think about the things of God, when we think about who we are, when we think about creation, we think about it in relationship to ourselves. And we are taught to do this. We are taught your relationship to God, your communion to God, your walk with God. And certainly these things are right, and this is the way we should relate to it, but I think after a while, we forget that there is more. And so we're going to talk about just a little bit of the more today. In Genesis chapter 7, and starting in verse 21, you can turn there if you like, but we're only going to be there very briefly. The Word of God says, "And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of living creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died." And in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Word of God says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." In Revelation chapter 5, well, let's turn there just for a moment, please. And starting in verse 1, the Word of God says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him and sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and every tongue and people and nations, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. When man fell, what happened? We think of this in a very egocentric sort of a way. But what in fact happened when man fell? Well, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, the Word of God says, And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. What happened? You see, man fell, and in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the word death there in the original language is thanatos, and it means physical death as well as separation unto hell. So what happened? Prior to the fall, no one died. Now careful what I'm saying. Prior to the fall, no one died. Not just Adam and Eve, no one died, but the only people there were Adam and Eve. But they were not alone. You see, man was not created alone. And we think of man as having been created alone, and as everything is created for him, and certainly he does have dominion over everything that has been created, but man was not created alone, and death entered through the sin of man. But there is a second part to that. Death entered through the sin of man, and so death, separation unto hell. First, it was physical death. The organism died because sin entered into the world through man. And the result of that was that death came into the world. But there was another result that only pertained to a certain portion of creation. And death by sin, that was what entered. And so death passed upon all men, for that all men have sinned. Now, physical death came by sin. But separation unto hell only came to man. It did not come to anything else. It only came to man. What am I talking about? Nothing died before the fall. Every beast that was created before the fall would have lived for all of eternity had sin not entered into the world. But because sin entered into the world, all felt the results of the fall. Death came. But separation unto hell came to man. It did not come to the cattle. It did not come to the birds. It did not come to the fish. It only came to man. One of the things that I find amazing is that if you ask somebody what happens, and I think we all think about this at one point or another, what happens to the animals? What happens when your pet dies? What happens when your cow dies? What happens when you hit a deer in the road? What happens to the animals? Now, I remember a discussion I had heard, and where some scholar said, or maybe I read this, I'm not quite sure now, some scholar said, well, animals simply disappear. They simply go away. They die and they return to the dust, and that's all there was, because they said the animals have no soul. And so they are simply what they are, a biological organism, and then they perish and they are gone forever. That's not what the Bible says. The best thing I've ever heard said on it in the past, and I've heard actually only very little, because quite frankly, when I looked, I found only very little out there. The best thing I've heard said on this statement was Pastor Stevens, and he spoke with a person one time, and they asked him, do animals go to heaven? And he said, you know, if it would make heaven to be heaven, I don't see why God wouldn't have them there. You know what? The Word of God is very clear as to what happens. And not only is the Word of God very clear, and this is something we should be a little bit informed in and a little bit versed in, because this is the glory not only of the salvation of man, but of the entire redemption process. This is God's glory we are talking about. We're not talking about simply making people feel better, although if it makes them feel better, wonderful. We are talking about the complete and total redemption of God towards His creation. You see, redemption did not just come for man. Redemption came for all of creation. People think that animals are relatively unimportant in the general scheme of things. And yes, they are there for our benefit, but that does not make them unimportant. As a matter of fact, I would say that makes them even more important, because we are the bride of Christ. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Why is it that death entered to the animals as well as to man? Because man had dominion. Man was the ruler. He was in charge. He subdued them in verse 28. It was his dominion that fell. And Satan took the title deed to creation because it was given to Adam, and he took the title deed when he tricked Eve and persuaded Adam through Eve to sin. And so man gave up the title deed. But in Revelation chapter 5, the Lamb took it back. You see, if the animals were not covered in the restorative, redemptive work towards all of creation by the blood of the Lamb, and they are not personally covered by the blood of the Lamb because they don't have personal sin, but the redemptive work is toward all of creation. And we will look at that, and we will see this tonight in the passages that we'll be looking at in the Scriptures. The redemptive work was toward all of creation. It was not just for man alone. So the animals had, because of Adam's sin, had died along with man, but it did not pass to them. The separation unto hell passed to the man, not to the animals, in Romans 5:12. Man brought death into the world, but animals did not suffer separation unto hell. Only man did. There are no animals in hell. There are animals in heaven. And the Word of God talks about animals in heaven. Let's take a look a little bit more. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, "And the Lord God said, It is not good for the man that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." The animals were created to be companions to man because man was alone. And I'm sorry, ladies, this is not any kind of a diminishing of you, but animals were created as friends to man before God created women. But Adam needed one of his own kind, and so God created the woman. But they were created, and they were originally the companions of the man. And this was their purpose, and God loved the man so deeply, and God wanted to give him that gift so fully, that he said, "Adam, whatever you name them, whatever charge you put on them," in that sense, because the name also refers to character, "whatever you name them, that it will be their name." God let Adam, the man, impart, if you will, the identity that the animals had to them. Adam imparted their identity, not God. God gave that as a gift to the one who had dominion over all of creation. And this was the part of the beauty of what God did. And this is part of how God loved Adam and how God loves us so much that He gave us this as a gift. He gave us not only dominion, but He gave us their love and their friendship and their companionship. And even though He was God and He loved the man perfectly, He wanted the man to be loved, if you will, from both sides. He wanted the man to be loved from the part of the Creator, but He also wanted the man to be loved from the part of the created. He wanted him to be loved from both sides. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, and this is something I never heard of before. I saw this in the scriptures the other day. I never heard of this, but I believe this is true. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the word "said" there is amar, and it means vocal and internal speech. Now, in Numbers 22:28, "And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam." The animals were created with the ability to speak. Because Eve was not fazed in the least that she was talking to an animal. This was perfectly normal to her. If it was the first time that that ever happened, I think it would have got her attention. And she would have like, "Hey, what's this? Why are you talking?" I believe that God created the animals with the ability to speak. And not only do I believe God created them with the ability to speak, in heaven they will have the ability to speak again. Why do I say that? Because the Word of God says in Psalm 145 and verse 21, My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. And when it says all flesh, it is not talking about man. It is talking about everything that is made of flesh. I believe God gave the animals the ability to speak, and they lost it, not after the fall, but after the flood. Because after the flood, the Word of God says in Genesis chapter 9, I believe it is, that all the animals would fear man. All the animals would fear man. Now, I've never heard anybody preach on this. I've looked through all my books, and I've looked through the dictionaries and the encyclopedias, but the original language seems to indicate, at least to me, that when God created for us companions, He created them to be companions completely. We were able to talk to them, and they were able to talk with us, and they were fully our companions. They were fully our friends. In Psalm chapter 50, and verse 10, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon the 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine." We think about God and how He loves man, and He certainly does. But do we ever think about God and how He loves the animals? God calls them His own. He says, every beast of the forest is mine. Every beast of the forest is mine, God says. He is very possessive of them, and even though He created them for man to be companions, just as man is His, so is every beast of the forest. And the cattle upon 1,000 hills, they belong to God. They are His, and He claims them, and He loves them, and He's claiming them as His own. And He is not sharing them in as much as He's saying, they're ours. He's not sharing them in as much as He's saying, I gave them to you. No, He's saying, they are mine, and this is after the fall, when this was written. And after the fall, God says, those animals belong to Me. They are mine. And every cattle on 1,000 mountains or hills are mine. And I know all the fowls of the mountains. He knows them. He's not just aware of them. He knows them. In Matthew chapter 7, there were people He does not know. Right? There are people He does not know. In verse 23, when they appear before Him, and they say to Him, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works in Your name?" He will say to them, "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never, not once, not ever, not I knew you and forgot you. I never knew you. But every fowl of the mountains, God knows." That means He has not forgotten them. They are in His eternal Word. He has not forgotten them. He knows them. Man, He does not know, because sin brought death, physical death, but that death turned into separation unto hell, but only toward man. And the wild beasts of the field are mine. God claims them, and whatever God claims is God's. And nobody can take away from Him that which has been claimed by God. It is not removable. They are His. Just like nobody can take away the saved soul from God, nobody can take away anything that belongs to Him. In Job chapter 38 and verse 41, "Who provideth for the raven his food? And when his young ones cry unto God, they wonder for a lack of meat." When the young ones, when the raven's young ones, when these teeny little birds in a nest cry out to whom? They cry out to God. They don't cry out to their bird mom or their bird dad. They cry out to God. That means that the animals have a sense of God because they are crying out to Him. I believe in their, if you will, I know I'm kind of humanizing, like making human attributes here, but I don't know how else to communicate it. I believe that in their hearts, the animals have a communion of sorts with God because He is their maker and they belong to Him. The animals cry out to Him. They don't cry out to the man, and they don't cry out to other animals. They cry out to God. In Joel chapter 1 and verse 20, the beasts of the field cry. The beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of water are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. The beasts of the field cry out unto God when there is nothing to drink, when there is nothing to eat. They know who to turn to. The animals call to God. And the word there, cry, is arag, and it means cry, but it also means to pant for, like in your emotions. Not only do they cry out to God when they are in trouble, not only do they cry out to God when there is nothing to eat and nothing to drink, but in their emotions, they long for Him. You see, animals belong to God. Do animals go into heaven? Well, they are known by Him. And only those, in the Bible are recorded that do not go into heaven, only those who are not known by Him. But the animals are known by God. In Psalm chapter 104 and verse 21, the young lions roar after they prey, and they seek their meat from God. The young a lion seeks its meat from God. The lion is aware of his source. The lion is aware of who it is that is actually taking care of him, and he seeks that meat from God. Psalm 104, verse 21. In Matthew chapter 6, and I'm sorry, we're going through a lot of verses here without a whole lot of discussion, but I think in something like this, because it is so different and so new, I believe, so fresh, it's very important to keep our focus on the verses, on the scriptures themselves, and let the Bible speak what the Bible will say. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. So the lions call to God, animals cry to God, they long for Him, they look to Him when they are in need, and He supplies that need. God feeds the animals. They don't know what to do. They don't worry about it. Why? Because God feeds the animals. You think manna from heaven was something. You know what? That was the everyday routine for the animals, and it still is. It was only man who was cursed to till the ground. It was not the animals. It was only man. The curse did not go unto the animals, although they, being under the dominion of Adam, suffered the effects of death, because they were under his authority. But they weren't separated from God the way man was unto hell. They simply died physically. And that is all. In Isaiah 63 and verse 14, the word of God says, as a beast goeth down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord causeth him to rest. God causes the animals to rest. His Spirit causes the animals to rest. I don't believe that He indwells them, but I do believe that the Holy Spirit has a ministry to the animals as well as to man, because the Word of God says that He gives them rest. What does he give them rest from? I don't know, but if you've ever had a pet or if you've ever taken care of an animal, you can tell what kind of fear or anxiety can come upon them. You can tell the longing when they long for their owners. You can see this in them, and they act differently, and they look for people. Well, the Spirit of God comforts them, just like He comforts man. The Spirit of God is not just there for man, although certainly He is there for man, but He is also for all of creation, because He created them. The Spirit of God gives them rest. In Psalm 36, in the B part of the 6th verse, O Lord, Thou preservest man and beast. Not just man, man and beast. We think it's such egocentric terms, I think, as believers. And in some realms, we should. You know, yes, God shed His blood for us. And yes, we appreciate the gift of grace. And yes, we appreciate His mercy. But let us not forget that we are not the only recipients. God preserves man and beast. God loves the animals also. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? Without who? Without their Father? No. Without your Father. A single sparrow. And why do they bring up sparrows? Because sparrows, when you bought them in those days, were very inexpensive. This was not anything elaborate. This was as simple can be. As basic and common and non-ornamental or non-splendid or whatever you want to call it, a sparrow was as basic can be. Yet not one of them shall fall without your Father. And the word there is capitalized, so it is talking about God, the Father, an animal, and only fall with, not because it was allowed by Him, but they will fall with God. It's not just permitted, it's ushered in. In Luke chapter 12, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Even the sparrows are known by God. Not one, not a single one will ever be forgotten by its Creator. Not a single one can be forgotten by the Maker of the universe, by the Maker of us, and by the Maker of the animals. None of them are forgotten by God. Oh yes, man, some men who rejected Christ, God does not know, but the animals did not reject Christ. The animals did not fall. Man did. So man is the only one who lives in the effects of the fall in terms of separation. The animals do not. In Psalm 65, verse 2, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Unto God all flesh comes. What happens when the animal dies? It goes unto God. The animals do not suffer the effects of man's sin, except physical death alone. But you see, they have a soul. People want to say that they don't, but if they have the breath of life, they have a soul. And the Bible talks about the spirit of the beast in Ecclesiastes. You see, what God has done, not even Adam or Satan can undo. Think about this for a moment. God created creation in a certain way for everything that is alive to remain alive, and it was not to die. And then, because Satan beguiled Eve, and then Adam chose to be one with his wife when he should have corrected her lovingly, man fell. And in that fall, all of creation, the title deed to creation, was given up. But my Bible says, O grave, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? You see, God will not give Satan 1 ounce of victory over anything. If the animals were to perish, then Satan would have won over a part of creation. Oh, he might not have won the whole deal. Man still would be saved, and the blood would still cover the man, and man would still be the bride of Christ, but the rest of creation would have been Satan's domain, because his authority and influence over creation would have remained. No. Satan gets no victory. Satan gets no victory. The redemptive work of Christ was complete in its entirety. It was the removal of sin through which death came into the world. And in that removal, the entirety of the effect of the fall is removed as well. Satan gets no victory. In Psalm 49 and verse 14, the Word of God says, like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. And the word death there is Sheol, and it speaks of the underworld. Now, when people died prior to the crucifixion taking place in time, they did not go to heaven. They went to paradise, the saved. The unsaved always went to hell, but the saved went to paradise. This is why Jesus said to the thief on the cross, the one that came to him and said, Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom. And he said not, he didn't say, today you will accompany me into my kingdom. No, he said, today you will accompany me somewhere else. Today you will accompany me into paradise. When the rich man died, and he lifted up his eyes, and he saw across the great gulf that was fixed Abraham and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and he said to Abraham, send Lazarus to me so that he will dip his finger in some water and put a drop on my tongue. Abraham said, it's not possible, but you know what? He saw him from hell. Prior to the resurrection, everyone went to Sheol. Everyone that died with Christ went to Sheol, the underworld. And the sheep, the animals, go, because this is Old Testament, in Psalm 49:14, they go to the underworld. And death shall feed on them. Now, this is not exactly what it sounds like in the English translation. King James didn't do the greatest job with this translation. The word there, feed, is rea, and I'm quoting, a verb meaning to feed, to tend, to be a shepherd. It means in general care for, to protect, to graze, to feed the flocks and the herds. What it is saying is that the animals, when they die, are shepherded and fed and cared for in the underworld. They don't die and turn into dust and that's the end of it, although their carcass may. But the animals went in the Old Testament into the underworld, and they were fed and they were shepherded and they were cared for. God loves the animals. In Revelation 19, the Word of God says, "And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses." There are animals in heaven. No one prior to the resurrection was in heaven except for God and the angels. After the resurrection, He took captivity captive, and we were resurrected with Him. We have been raised with Him. The Word of God said, Paul said, we have been raised with Him. If we died with Him, we are raised with Him. And I believe that the animals after the resurrection followed after man into heaven, because now there are animals in heaven. And in the future, the Bible says, there will be animals in heaven again. And the Bible describes the animals. You see, that was a promise made, and the promise was made to man, but the promise was also made to the beast. In Genesis chapter 9, and this is not the sort of promise that we necessarily think of as a promise of God, but it was nevertheless a promise of God, and it was a promise that was indicative of something greater. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 9, "And behold, I will establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you," and God's talking to Noah here, "and with every living creature that is with you." With every living creature, God established a covenant. "Of the fowl, of the cattle, of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you." God established a covenant with man, and God established a covenant with the animals. Do you think the animals are important to God? Well, my Bible says that God established a covenant with them. God gave a promise to the animals. Why? Because they belong to Him. And He does not forget them. He knows every single one of them. He never forgets them. In Psalm 145 and verse 21, "My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord." We just talked about this, but let's repeat it. "And let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever." All flesh, not just all man, all flesh will bless His holy name forever and ever. And it's not just talking about the flesh to come, it's talking about all the flesh there ever was, or that ever will be. But all flesh will bless God's holy name for all of eternity. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 19, and this is a portion of scriptures that some people try to use to discredit the concept that animals would go to heaven, but it is because they do not really put line upon line and precept upon precept, and they do not compare scripture with scripture. In verse 19 of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the Word of God says, "For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth the beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath. It is the same breath that made man into a living soul, that breathed life into the beast. The same breath that imparted a soul to man imparts a soul to the animal. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast. For all is vanity. All go unto one place. All go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again." The animals were made of the same stuff we are, and they have the same breath of life that we do. We just happen to be given dominion over them. Who knoweth the spirit of a man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast? The beast has a spirit. They say that the animal has no soul, no spirit. The Word of God says the beast has a spirit. And the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth. Now, a lot of people would think that that means the man goes to heaven, the animal goes to the earth. But that was not true in the Old Testament times. Man went to paradise in the center of the earth. He went to Sheol. He did not go to heaven until after the resurrection. It is not talking about the final destiny of the soul of the man and the soul of the beast. What it is talking about is the source from which we derive our life spiritually. The animals don't have the same spiritual life with God that we do, but they do have a soul. We have a communion and a fellowship with God, and the animals have a horizontal existence whereby their understanding is towards the earth and not towards God in the same sense that we have it. They are not the bride of Christ. We are. But they have the same breath of life that created a soul in man, and they have a spirit that was created by God. They are different from us in the respect that we have a richness of fellowship with God that they do not, but they do have an awareness of Him, and they cry out unto Him. And finally, in Isaiah 65, and please turn there, the Word of God says in verse 17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind." But God remembers the animals. The former earth and the things thereof will be forgotten by God, but God does not forget. He says He does not forget the animals. "But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." What is this talking about? This is the new Jerusalem at the end of Revelation, where God creates the new Jerusalem that is suspended in the air, which is the abode of the believer. He is talking about heaven. And now get this. In verse 25 of Isaiah 65, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." The holy mountain in Revelation 21 is the new Jerusalem. It is the abode of the eternal abode of the saved. It is heaven. In heaven, there will be the lion and the wolf and the serpent and the lamb, and the other animals will be in heaven. There will be horses and cattle and dogs and whatever else animal, whatever kind you can think of. A fox will be in heaven. Deer will be in heaven. I believe that the animals, they are not forgotten by God. They are His. They are created by Him. They belong to Him. And He says He does not forget them. And the only way to not forget them, because the earth will be forgotten, is if they are in heaven for eternity as our companions with God. Amen.